what they had already considered doing was actually happening. The Son was leaving heaven, laying aside his glory, not giving up being God, but laying aside the glory that he has as God, the Eternal One, majestic, holy, other than anything else that he has created. And he was going to come in human form, not just in any human form, but in the form of a helpless child. We have to grasp that, what it meant for heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to have this happen, really happen. I think mixed with the sadness, if there was any sadness, was tremendous joy, because at last, in real terms, in history, God was providing the way out for man, who was for ages bound in sin, helpless, weak, most not even aware that there was something in their lives that held them back from being everything that God had created human beings to be. Lost. The word lost includes that sense of ignorance that I am lost. I know something is wrong, but I don't know what exactly is wrong. And there was joy in heaven. And how do I know there was joy in heaven? Because the angel sang or said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I don't think there was much sorrow. It was not like we say farewell to a loved one. God was in total control at the departure from heaven of the Son. And there was confidence that really, actually, it's going to happen, that there will be human beings who will be found by the one who was born, a little baby who would grow up and say, as he sat with people who were messed up, prostitutes, sinners, tax collectors, publicans and sinners, as the self-righteous leaders of religion would keep saying, you must be a sinner, why are you sitting among sinners? He said, I have come to seek and to save those who know they are sick, the well, the healthy, those who are not sick don't need a physician. I've come not to call the righteous. I've come to call sinners to repentance. Oh yes, they will have to repent. They will have to turn away from their sin. They will have to hate their sin. They may not know how to get rid of their sin. I will do that for them when I die on the cross of Calvary, which is Good Friday. We mustn't forget that part of all the happenings around that manger, when the shepherds came, and then in the 2-year period as Jesus grew up, and the Magi came from far off east to see Jesus, they acknowledged, even when the angel spoke, they acknowledged that to you this day is born who? A Savior. I mean, you can't call somebody a Savior without asking Savior from what? And the Magi, they offered him, they mentioned in the Bible, there is mention of three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So symbolic. It's very, very significant. It's not just a happy birthday gift with no meaning. Gold represents that he is king. Those wise men from the east, they knew frankincense is used in most ancient religions to burn as incense in worship. So the Magi were offering him worship when they gave him frankincense. And there was myrrh. Myrrh was used in the old days to wrap up the corpse, the dead, not just in cloths and spices, but also myrrh. So they were acknowledging that he would die. But I hope you also caught this thing from the reading that the Magi came asking the question, where is he? Where is he? Who is born to be king of the Jews? And don't forget, the reading in the Bible says, for we have seen a star. We didn't just see a star, we have seen his star. They knew that they were looking for a specific person. Where is he? Where is he? Not just somebody. We're looking for somebody who is born as a king of we don't know what. We know specifically where is he? The king of the Jews. We have seen his star. For those of you who have a Bible and read it in the Old Testament, there are very clear references to the star. And it was not just the normal star of constellations. We can gaze at stars. They were not talking about one of those stars. They were talking about a star that shone and moved and drove them. As it moved, it guided them and it brought them specifically to the place where Jesus was. It was a moving star. And it was a gloriously shining star. And in the Old Testament, there is a moving, glorious, shining radiance, the Shekinah glory of God. So the glory of God shone for them and guided them to the place where Jesus was born. Jesus is the King. He was born to be king. He was born Savior to save us from our sin. He was born as a little child, but he grew up and he died. What does it all mean? What can it all mean? For those of us who've understood this, that it's not just a story. It's not just in the Bible. It's not just true. But it's for me. He came for me. We can find in him our King. And a king rules, doesn't he? A king takes charge, shouldn't he? A king needs us to be subject
to him. Is that not right? And for those of us who have seen in him that king of our personal life, we can know that he can take charge of our lives. He can run our lives. I mean, what better person to take charge of my life than God himself? He knows it all. He knows me through and through. He created me. And if he is pleased to be king and in charge and control and shape my life and give me direction, and I obey him, that's the best kind of life. And you know what Jesus said? In one of his teachings, he said, I have come that they might have life. And you know what kind of life? Abundant life. For those of us who have found in him not just a king, but a savior. Savior from our sin. We can know that that which has messed up our lives is really that something that takes us away from having an intimacy with our Creator. He made me. He owns me. He loves me. And yet, I'm not related with him. I'm running my own life. And when I run my own life, I do things that are wrong. Because I have no real intimate relationship with God. And the Bible calls it sin. I have a mindset, a nature, an inbuilt, instinctively. I'm not related to God. I don't really know God. I might talk about him. I might even worship him. I might pay lip service to him. I might do a whole lot of things to somehow psych myself to please God. I might even live a sacrificial religious life. But I don't really know God. It doesn't work in my life. That may be what you are experiencing today as you hear me. There's something blocking. That's sin. And things go wrong. Actions go wrong. That's sinful acts. And Jesus can save you. And some of us have found in him that Savior who's adequate, sufficient. And Jesus said he saves us by laying down his life willingly for the sheep. He calls us sheep, you know. The Bible says we are lost sheep. But he came to seek the lost sheep. And when he finds us and helps us to know that he lays down his life for the sheep. He died, really died. That's a historical fact. Jesus died. Recently, someone again told me, yeah, the Jews, they killed Jesus. I had to remind that dear man, the Jews didn't kill Jesus. Your sin killed Jesus. But actually, you know, not even my sin and your sin killed Jesus. Jesus killed himself. He didn't commit suicide. He laid down his life for the sheep. He gave up his life willingly. And he said, no man can take my life from me. I lay down on my own will and I take it up again. So we find in him the Savior. And we can worship him because he is God in human flesh who came. But there's another encouragement that I must share with you as I think of Christmas. To think that God, who is invisible,
cannot be seen, came in human flesh. He made, in becoming a human being, he made the invisible God visible. I can really know what God is like when I study the life and teachings of Jesus. But beyond that, I can also know as I study the life and teachings of Jesus that he went through everything that I as a human being could ever go through. What are the things that human beings go through? We go through anxiety, worries, temptations, struggles, lack of things, food, housing, money, all the pressures. Jesus went through all that. He even got tempted towards sin in every possible manner. And you know what the Bible says? He never sinned. He's the only one in human history who could stand before the public and say, which one of you can point a finger at me and find a fault in me? And if you study the Bible, it's shocking, you know, that those who were instrumental in the murder of Jesus, they actually said, we find no fault with him. And they said, the only fault we find with him is he claims to be God. He claims to be God. He claims to be blameless, sinless God. And so when I struggle with sin, with temptation, with failures, with needs and trials and suffering, I lean on Jesus. And he really understands. I could go on and on. But Christmas can really be a really happy Christmas. I avoid saying Merry Christmas because I don't find anything to be merry about. Merry gives me the connotation of, you know, some other things. Aren't we happy? And happy is a God word. It points me towards God because happy is the same, it's a synonym of the word blessed. I'm blessed. And you can be blessed and have a really happy Christmas if you not only understand that Jesus is God who became flesh to be your Savior, your King, your sympathizer, one who can really understand you and then change your life from inside out. You can really have a happy Christmas. And you can join with us as we come to a close of this service and turn to our songbooks to number 466 and sing, O Come.